everyone. I'm Barb Roos, and I want to welcome you to this episode of the Better Together Facebook Live. This weekly Facebook Live show is where we talk about all of the things. And we're going to be talking about our hopes, our dreams, our worries, our waistlines, and tonight, a spicy topic. So it doesn't matter where you come from or what you've been through. Here on the Better Together show is where we find the hope, the help, and tonight, some incredible practical next steps that allow us all to get better together. And if you are here for the first time in the Better Together show, I want to say welcome. We broadcast every Tuesday in January. We will broadcast at 4:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And we love connecting with you. This is an interactive show, so you can jump in the comments and say hi. Tonight's topic is how to fight less with your spouse about money. And I have a special guest who has an incredible background in financial intimacy. And so if you and your spouse, you and your partner, if you've been kind of at each other about money, whether it's something that has arisen because of COVID, yes, because of just you've got different personalities, tonight's episode is for you. And in fact, I am hosting the show on my regular Facebook page to invite even more of you in the conversation. So jump in the comments, say hi, give a girl a shout. So Terry Bryan, thank you for joining us today. Glad to have you. Jody, yes, you made it right on time. We're so glad that you're with us. Now, one of the questions I want to ask right off the bat is, an icebreaker question for tonight's topic. If you're joining me, our topic is how to fight less with your spouse about money. But in the comments, I'd love to hear from you if you're watching. And the question is this: are you a spender or are you a saver? Which one are you? And if your spouse is not watching, be honest and say that you're a spender or if you are a saver. But I would love to hear from you. And again, as I said, we're going to talk about some practical next steps if you and your spouse have been fighting with money. This is one of the most stressful aspects of being in a relationship. And so we want to bring hope and help to that area of your life. Now, before I introduce our special guest, I want to also tell you about some other ways to find help and hope. We've got another week until Christmas, and if you are looking for a stocking stuffer, I have just the gift for you. This is my newest book. It's titled Surrendered, 40 Devotions to Help You Let Go and Live Like Jesus. Tabitha, my fabulous producer, I think we've got a graphic. And this is a great stocking stuffer for those of you who are trying to let go of the things that you can't control. This little surrender devotional has 40 devotions about letting go of worry, letting go of overthinking, letting go of other people's problems, letting go of negativity. And if you have been struggling, this is something I want to encourage you to grab for yourself. Tabitha popped a link into the comments and you can check it out. But that is a way that we want to invest in you this holiday season. Now, back to our icebreaker question. The question is, are you a spender or a saver? And it's fun. Thank you for those who are jumping in the comments. Tabitha, who's chimed in for us? We got Kathy. She says she's a spender, but her husband is a saver. Good to know. Who else do we have? Terry, she says she's both. She likes to spend on items, but save, do it yourself on services. That's a really great way of looking at it there, Terry. I like that. I think that I might be a little the same. Jody says that she is a spender, but she is working on it. So, oh, that's good. Well, if you are a spender or a saver, no matter what, tonight's episode is for you, especially if you're married or you are in a relationship pretty much with anybody who you're sharing money with. But we're talking specifically about marriage. And so tonight I want to introduce our guest. And our guest is Jacquette M. Timmons. She focuses on the human side of money. She works as a financial behaviorist and is committed to getting you to see that you don't manage money, you manage your choices around money. Jacquette is the author of the book, Financial Intimacy, How to Create a Healthy Relationship with Your Money and Your Mate. So we're going to really get all into it. Jacquette is the creator of The Comfort Circle. It's a dinner series where she hosts discussions about money and business and life over food and wine. That sounds so good. She also hosts master classes and small group retreats called Pricing Made Human. Jacquette is the host of the podcast More Than Money, and her work has been featured on the Minnesota Public Radio, Sirius XM, Good Morning America, CNN, NPR, and the Wall Street Journal. Jacquette holds an MBA in finance from Fordham University Graduate School of Business, and she has a degree in marketing from the Fashion Institute of Technology. I love that. She lives in Brooklyn, New York, and can be seen running in Prospect Park most days of the week. So friends, would you welcome to the Better Together Facebook Live, Jacquette Timmons.
It is such a delight to be here, How are you?
I'm great. Do you love having somebody read your whole bio? Has that been fun?
It's always fun, yes. Especially when they come with the enthusiasm that you do. Absolutely.
I know. Well, you spend a lot of time working with a lot of very fancy, exclusive organizations, and they probably read your bio with not as much enthusiasm as I do.
I'm sorry, say that again. You cut off a little bit. I'm sorry.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Yes. Hey, friends, as you're watching, we have a little bit of technical stuff happening. Hang in there with us. We've got some fun things to share. But Jacquette, I was just saying, you work with a lot of Fortune 500 companies, Fortune 100, but I don't think anyone reads your bio with as much enthusiasm as me.
No, they do not, which is why I like when you do it.
Love it.
For sure.
I love it.
And I was listening into your intro for tonight, and I found it curious, the couple that said that one of them was the spender and the other was the saver. Well, you're not uncommon. When I was doing my research for financial intimacy, one of the things that I learned was that most people attract the opposite. So if you are the spender, you will attract the saver. If you are the saver, you will attract the spender. And if you do indeed attract, you know, someone who's like you, you are a spender, you attract a spender. You are a saver, you attract a saver. One of you will pull back on it. And I just think that that's just nature's way of making sure that we are yoked equally, I guess, or yoked in a way that we will learn a little bit more from a personal development standpoint.
That is fascinating. Well, let's go ahead and get into those aspects, because finances are a tension in relationships. And when I use the word tension, it's not that it's bad, but it's something that we've got to manage and work around. And so how did you get into, you've got this incredible background in financial services, in financial management, but how did you move into recognizing the intimacy part and the emotional part of finances?
Yeah, you know, it as a lot of things, it came from personal experience. And for me, that personal experience was the death of a really good friend of mine who was like the old brother that I never had. And he was married to my college roommate. And he died unexpectedly of a brain aneurysm. And a month after he died, the father of another friend of mine, he died. And that's when her mother discovered that the family was $500,000 in debt, and that was not their mortgage. And then I had a coaching client who on paper was the epitome of financial success, Wharton MBA, worked on Wall Street, high six-figure salary, and yet she and her boyfriend fought all the time about money. And if these three events had happened with a great deal of time in between them, I may not have noticed a pattern, but they happened lockstep. Dino died in February, my friend's father died in March, and I'm working with this client at the end of, February, March, and at the end of April, early May. And I began to get really curious as to how is it that, you know, these women who are highly educated, they're professionals, they're managing their careers, what is it that they did not know? Or what conversations were they not having with their partners so that they didn't know some really critical pieces of information when their husbands die, or didn't understand what was the real reason that they were fighting about money? And so I just became really curious about that. And I wanted to find the answer to that. Like, what is going on? Like, the person that you're the most intimate with, why is it that you're not having the same level of intimacy when it came to money? So it was a curiosity around that, but that curiosity stemmed from the loss of a really dear friend.
Whoa. And like the tragedy of the loss of a friend is a lot, but then when you recognize that as you think about their life, that so many hard things were happening because they were struggling with money. When couples are fighting over money, what are some of the clues that a couple really needs to get some outside help?
Well, I think the first thing to realize is that when you're fighting over money, it's never just about the money. There's something else that you are fighting about as well. And so, you know, it's one of the reasons why I think how you fight is important. But I think fighting in general is not necessarily a bad thing, because what it is really kind of highlighting for you is that there's something that needs to be discussed. And so in the instance of when do you need outside help is when you realize that your current communication style and skills are not working for you. They're not helping you to come up with a solution that works well for both of you. And so that's how you realize or know that you need to bring in a third voice into that conversation.
Oh yeah, and that's so hard to do, because a lot of couples, what is it about money that is so hard for people to talk to each other about?
Well, you know, I'm gonna push back on that a little bit, because I think culturally there is this myth that says we don't talk about money, but I think we talk about money all the time. Think about the conversations that people have when they go shopping and they get something on sale and they're like, oh, I got this great deal. Or think about that person that invests in the stock market and their particular investment does extremely well, right? Then they're bragging about it. So I don't think it's so much an issue that we don't talk about money. I think it's a matter of we don't have the right conversations, and often we don't have the right conversations with the right people. And so I think one of the things that we need to make a shift with is getting to the point where we're not only having conversations about money when there's a transaction to be discussed, you know, do we get this dishwasher or this car, or do we fix this roof? Or, you know, when do we start saving for our children's college education? Those are very transactional. And those are important, but it can't just be limited to that. And so I think it needs to also be around, what was money like when you grew up? Where do your values when it comes to money? Where does that come from? The way in which you behave about money right now, the beliefs that you have about money right now, the expectations that you have, how much of that is from what you saw growing up? How much of that is in response to what you saw growing up, and how much of that is based on your experiences? So I think being willing to have those kinds of conversations is important. But what that then speaks to is we have to be vulnerable, and we don't really like being vulnerable. We don't like, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, let's talk about that more. When it comes to money, why is vulnerability hard?
because so much of our identity is tied up in money. It's tied up in, you know, how much you earn, how much you have, you know, where you are on the income spectrum, where are you on the wealth spectrum? And a lot of that is tied to one's identity. And so when you're talking about it, you are actually pulling away a bit of a layer that kind of exposes the identity and the extent to which there may be a disconnect between who you think you are and who you think other people see you as. So that's a piece of it. I think also for as much as we talk about the mistakes that we made and the faults that we have, we don't necessarily talk about them in the context of how can we have these conversations and learn from them, as opposed to having conversations about mistakes and faults and having them be set in stone, like you can't ever move on from that. So I think those are all of the reasons why it makes talking about money a bit difficult and being willing to be vulnerable a bit challenging.
Oh, that is so good, that often we are focused on the mistakes that we've made around money. We're focused around the things that we didn't agree on, and we don't let each other move on. That is so good. If you are just joining me, my guest tonight is Jaquette Timmons. She is a financial behaviorist, and tonight we're talking about how to have less fights and arguments with your spouse about money. And so she just shared tip number one: be careful that you aren't only having transactional conversations about money. Now, your second tip, this one is very curious to me. You said that the question rarely changes, but the answer often does. What is that about?
So one of the things that I tell people is that one of your longest relationships in life will be your relationship with money. And more than likely, even if you got married when you were in your 20s, your relationship with money is going to be longer than if you were married for 60, 70 years. Because there was a bit of time when that other person, you know, and you, when that other person wasn't in the picture and it was you making financial decisions on your own. I say that from the standpoint of A, getting people to really embrace the fact that they have a relationship with money, and two, to recognize, because it is going to be one that they have for a really long time, it's going to evolve. And as it evolves, the question that you have in your 20s, how much should I save? How should I invest? What should I do with my money? It's going to be the same question that you have in your 30s, in your 40s, in your 50s. But because with each, you know, change in age, if you will, your circumstances and your context probably changes. So let's assume, just for illustrative purposes, that when you are in your 20s, that you're single. Well, then maybe when you're in your late 20s and you're in your 30s, that now you're married. Well, that's a different, the answer that you need when you're married is a very different answer than when you're single. But what about then when you have children? It changes then. Or what about when your children are a little bit older, but now you're also taking care of your elderly parents? So the question always stays the same. What should I do with my money? How should I be saving? What should I be investing? And, you know, any other question that you might come up with, but the answer is going to be different because your life is not static. The circumstances and the context within of which those, you know, circumstances are unfolding, all of that changes. And so that changes the dynamics of the answers that you need, as well as the answers that you want.
That is good. And that is so true. My money now, it is drastically different because my kids are grown up and out of the house. That's dramatically different than when my girls were growing up. And so, yeah, that is so wise. And to be willing to know that the answers do change to that question over the years and not fall into the trap of just assuming that everything's going to be the same, because that's, if one partner thinks that everything's going to be the same and the other partner knows that things is going to change, that's naturally going to create tension. How does a couple then get to the place to where they can work together on what the new answer is at that season of life? Like, when should they have this conversation?
It should be a conversation that you're having all the time. And I think that's part of the problem. I think going back to the transactional nature, you know, couples tend to only think that they need to talk about the big picture of money when there are big decisions to be made. And what I would love is for people to think about a conversation around money the same way that you would think about, what are we going to have for dinner tonight? Like, to me, money is a communication tool. And if you view it that way, it can be the good Pandora's box that opens up, you know, a great opportunity for you to get to know one another on an even deeper level. Because just because you're married and have been together perhaps for many years, it doesn't mean that you know everything about each other. And so it could really be the pathway, the door into having a better understanding of, you know, what inspires your mate, what drives the dreams that they have, and what role does money play in that? And so if you're approaching it from that standpoint, the conversation about money is a never-ending conversation, because it's never, ever just about the money. It's never just about the numbers. It's what money is enabling you to do. And that's what you're really having conversations about. And when you're fighting, that's also what you're really fighting about. Because typically, when you're fighting, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I think that was right
when you're fighting. Yeah. Because when you're fighting, I think a couple of things you have to think, you have to remember. Just because you're married, you don't lose your identity, right? And so that means you don't lose the individual goals and dreams that you have. But what you're always trying to balance and figure out what's going to be the priority is, you know, you've got your goals, they have their goals, then you have your family goals. And in any given moment, you only have the resources that you have at that time. How are you going to prioritize that? So the fighting sometimes comes about because someone feels like they're giving up everything. You know, all of the family resources are going toward X goal and their dreams have been set aside. And they're like, where am I in this picture? Oftentimes, that's what people are fighting about. They feel like their space has been occupied by everybody else except for them.
And so when you are initially talking with someone who feels that way, there's some skills and tips that they need to learn, but what are some reassurances that you can give them to help them kind of calm down when they feel that rising up in them?
So, you know, one of the things that I would say is first, you know, do a self-inquiry process, right? And ask yourself, are you upset because you realize that your belief is different than theirs? Are you upset because they are practicing a habit that frustrates you or that you feel is holding your family back? So, for example, when we started off and you put the question out there, are you a spender or are you a saver? Well, if you are a saver and your partner is constantly spending, A, that's a habit. And B, if you haven't actually talked about the belief that drives that, when you're fighting about the habit, but really what you're fighting about is the belief. And so you've got to be able to dissect what is actually unfolding in that moment so that you can make sure that you are addressing the proper thing and not just making the person be the bad person, if you will. The second piece of that is figuring out, and this is tricky, and it's tricky because it's a little nuanced, but figuring out whether you are also fighting about transparency, power, or intimacy. Are you fighting about the fact that someone did, you know, made a purchase and they didn't consult you? That's transparency. Are you fighting about the fact that you are the stay-at-home spouse and you feel like you don't have any power to make any financial decisions because you're not the one that's quote unquote earning the money and bringing it into the household. Are you fighting about that without really realizing that that's what you're fighting about? From an intimacy standpoint, and let me just say that you can have transparency without intimacy, in my opinion, but it's really hard to have intimacy without transparency. But again, with intimacy, are you fighting about that? Do you feel like there is something that you can't reveal because you are afraid of how that other person is going to respond? Or is the other person perhaps afraid of revealing something because they're not quite sure how you are going to respond? So it's a little tricky, but I think when you're fighting, that oftentimes it's also one of those three elements that are also coming into play. Transparency, power, intimacy.
Oh gosh, that is all so good. What then for couples do you recommend as a next step for them to just get started if they have been fighting and audience, an icebreaker question or a question for the audience is, what part of your family budget creates the most amount of tension for you? You can go ahead and put that in the comments. But Jaquette, if there is a listener out there who realizes that they only talk about money when their bills being paid, they don't know how to talk about money and the history of money. They don't know how to have conversations about what their financial expectations are in different seasons of life, or they don't know if it's transparency, power, or intimacy. Like, how do they even begin answering those questions?
With a question. and with several questions to boot. You know, you could start by, it sounds corny, but I think it's really helpful. Having a money date, right? And that money date can simply be, you know, how much money did we spend this week and how much of that was spent on your goals, my goals, or the family goals? That's a good conversation starter. Another question, did anything happen this week that caused us to spend money or to make a financial decision that we didn't plan on? It was a surprise. That's a good conversation starter. Did anything good happen financially, right? Because I think culturally, we have this tendency to focus so much on our financial mistakes and faults that we don't take the time to give ourselves credit for the good things that happen when it comes to money or to acknowledge our money strengths. So that would be a really great way of also not only acknowledging your own strengths, but also acknowledging what you think your partner did well. Because everybody likes to feel good, right? And then, you know, asking questions around, are we on target with regards to the household income, the savings goals, and hopefully different savings goals, because maybe you have several of them, investing, spending, getting out of debt. And again, it's never with the intent of, you know, putting a spotlight to instigate any sort of shame or guilt, but it's really putting a spotlight to invite a conversation. And I think if you just get in the habit of doing that every week, that will go a really long way to normalizing having conversations about money all the time and not only doing it when there's a big transaction to be had or when there's a big fight because someone did something that pissed you off.
Yep. Oh my gosh. I love just that idea of celebrating your money strengths and then your spouse's money strengths, because like you said, we often are always pointing out what went wrong. And then those questions like having the money date, that is so good, because I don't think that a money date is an anticipation of a good thing. Usually when couples sit down and talk about money, that's code for we gonna fight. But a money date can create a positive atmosphere around it. I think that's beautiful. Now, tell us for your book,
yeah,
Financial
Totally. Ultimate, and if you drink half a glass of wine while you're doing it.
Yes. Now, your book, Financial Intimacy, where can folks find your Financial Intimacy book?
Oh, either at your local bookstore or Amazon.com or BarnesandNoble.com. You know, wherever you buy your books, you can find it there.
Love it. And my fabulous producer, Tabitha, put a link in the comments, and then the link will also be in the show notes so that you can grab a copy of the book. And Jacquette, as we are nearing the end, is there any one last bit of encouragement that you would have for couples when it comes to not fighting so much over money?
Again, I'm going to say shift the goal. The goal shouldn't be not to fight, because, you know, if you're fighting, that means that there's something that needs to be addressed. I would say to make sure that when you are fighting or having a heavy conversation, that you're coming at it with a real deep sense of empathy, both for yourself and for the other person. Because it's not easy. It's not easy being vulnerable. It's not easy to, you know, express your desires. And sometimes it's not easy to express your challenges. And so don't try to avoid the fight, but be intentional about fighting A, fairly, and fighting from a place of empathy and compassion.
That is a beautiful, beautiful way to end today's conversation. And so if you are listening today, this has been such a great conversation this time of year with my guest, Jacquette Timmons. She is the author of the book, Financial Intimacy. And if this is an episode that you listen to, but you want to listen to it again with your spouse, you can watch this week's episode either on this Facebook page or at barbruce.com on the blog page. There you can also find the past episodes of Better Together. And new episodes are on every Tuesday starting the first week in January. So, Jacquette, thank you for sharing your expertise and your encouragement this evening.
Oh, thank you so much. It was my delight. I'm really glad to have been here.
Wonderful. Well, everyone, thank you for joining us on this week's episode of The Better Together. We are wishing you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. We'll see you again with new episodes in January. Bye-bye.